Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay here on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. Andrew is on his way to Greenland. He forgot his passport because he thought it was already a United States 51st state, and I think he's going to get turned away at the border, but we'll see. He'll probably be back, you know, next week or something like that, but we wish him well. And, you know, he'll be back soon enough. But until then, I'm here to fill in. So we have up with us state representative representing District 2, Alex Andrade, all the way from Tallahassee, Florida. Alex, how's it going this morning?
It's going great, Walker. Sorry to hear about Andrew in Greenland. I had no idea.
I know. He just jumped the gun a little too early. So he'll be all right. He'll be all right. But you've been over in Tallahassee. Are y'all in your second or third week of session now?
This is the second week of session. So it's like the first, there's like two doldrums. It's like first week there's a ton of activity. Second and third week, everyone's kind of like wondering when the budget's going to drop. So like if you're not a budget chair, like I am, like the only question I get, the biggest question I get fielded every day right now is like, when's the budget coming?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, all I can tell them is like, I think week four. So like the process is like, I get my allocation for how much I get to spend overall in my healthcare budget. It'll likely be around $44 billion. And then I have to work through over the course of a few weeks, plugging it all in. And then, you know, release it to the public. So, essentially, like, yeah, the vast majority of folks right now are just kind of waiting.
Just waiting.
And then around week four, the House and the Senate both release their proposed budgets. And then everybody's super active for that week. Then we go back to, like, doldrums for two more weeks where we're just kind of, like, hearing bills. And it's, you know, you have committees. Some bills get heard. We don't have too many floor sessions. And then the last 2 weeks of session, it's just a breakneck speed to get everything done.
Very good. Very good. Y'all are waiting for the budget to drop, and all the counties and cities around the state are trying to wait and see how much their budget is going to drop with any property tax relief coming out of the state house. So, any bills that you go ahead.
Hey, actually, on the property tax thing, it's interesting. I'm sensing like a shift in the public commentary. More and more folks are kind of not souring on the idea of property tax. A property tax proposal, but they're either realizing the revenue has to come from somewhere else, or they're realizing that anything that gets put on the ballot is likely to fail. I'm still a believer in it. I want something on the ballot. I want voters to vote on it. I don't like that we have to rent our property from the government, but I think it's really tough right now in this climate, especially if we're not unified between the legislature and the governor's office. To see anything getting 60% on the ballot in November this year. So I'm a little bit bearish on the idea that we're going to actually have property tax relief, even though I want it. I want to put something on the ballot. I think we're going to put something on the ballot. I just don't think anything's going
to
pass.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch how that all unfolds and the conversations around it, because they've certainly changed, I feel like, from, you know, when it first kind of – the idea first kind of got thrown out there. So we'll see how that goes. Any bills that you are working on or people should be on the lookout for that real quick before we head out to traffic on the fives and the commercials?
Yeah, I'm presenting a public records bill today. It essentially just tightens up the rules around public records requests and responses.
All right. Yeah, and that's just to make that process quicker, right?
Yeah, you can go to Traffic on the Fives. We can talk about it later.
All right, good. So we're going to Traffic on the Fives and head to commercials. Thanks, Alex.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, nor delays. Everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip with the new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther. And combined with Subaru's legendary capability of standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected conditions and terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road, they're all fair game in the new 2026 Subaru Hybrid. Better fuel economy, legendary reliability, you'll find both in the Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid and Subaru Forester Hybrid. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hey, I know everybody's a little apprehensive about contractors, people that you hire, because you want to make sure you're getting a good quality, you're not getting taken advantage of. I totally get that. That's why I recommend Quality Roofing Solutions. Now, they've been around for 19 years, since 2006, putting 10,000 new roofs on homes in this area and getting a 4.9 rating on Google. I mean, a 4.9. That is outrageous. Nobody has a 4.9. That's ridiculous. Why? Well, because they talk to you like a normal person. They do all kinds of things to make sure you understand every step of the process. If you need a repair, they'll do the repair. If you need a replacement, they'll do the replacement. They'll help you understand what's going on and create a documentary record before, during, and after with photos, hundreds of photos, so that if you ever do have a claim later or you just need to demonstrate a new roof to the insurance, that's easy. They can take care of you for that. They support local charities like Art Gateway. They invest in local youth sports, financial literacy education, just the kind of company you want to do business with. Quality Roofing Solutions, 777-0961, or check them out online at qualityroofingsolutions.com.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekdays 2 till 4, right after Markley Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay. Andrew is out this week. He actually was on Air Force One and unplugged the radar to plug in his phone because his phone was about to die, and that's why they had to turn around.
That's the reason?
That's it. That's the reason.
Wow, you've got the insider scoop.
I don't know that he made it onto the second plane.
I don't think he did. I think security took
so
care
he's
of
driving
him.
Back.
Yes.
So anyways, we're here with State Representative Alex Andrade reporting in from Tallahassee here in his senior year, eighth session over in Tallahassee. And we were talking a little bit about one of the bills he's running on public records request and really shortening that window of time that cities and counties have to respond to this. Alex, I'll let you continue on with that.
Yeah, and it doesn't shorten the time to produce anything. I mean, it takes time to compile records, to redact them if you need them, to review them, to make sure that there's nothing confidential you're producing, and then to turn them over to the requester. But at the same time, the local government should respond to the request itself to say, hey, we got your request. It's going to take us probably this many days. These are the exemptions that we think might exist in these documents. This is how much we think it's going to cost, and this is why we think it's going to cost this much. The whole point is just to force by statute the information you would share with a requester if you were trying to comply with the law in good faith. So the whole idea is just to try and require good faith in the public records compliance process. And it's gotten no real pushback or anything. I think most folks support transparency and accountability. Every local government person that's reached out to me about it with concerns I've asked them, okay, well, are you complying with your public records in good faith? And what's your process? And when we go through their process, it kind of clicks for them. Okay, well, this bill won't affect me because I'm doing this in good faith. So I think it's just, you know, good policy. It'll be its first committee stop today, and hopefully it continues to move. And, you know, we'll see if it passes and gets signed by the governor.
Very good. Are there any, you know, big funding requests that have come in, or anything that really for local area that we should be on the lookout for, or maybe have our hopes up for that had come out of this session?
I mean, everybody's got their projects, right? So for context, most funding things people think about are a very small fraction of our overall state budget. Like I mentioned earlier, I'll likely have about $44 billion to work with to like craft a healthcare budget for the state. So within that, let's just say $100 million worth of that are the legislative projects tied to specific legislators. And it's my job to like divvy them up across the state, across, you know, the entire legislative body, so that every legislator can point to something and say they brought that home for their constituents. So anytime you talk about something big, well, the big part's the actual budget. If your focus is on legislative projects and that's what you claim, you know, responsibility for, well, there's a vast amount of the budget that you're not even considering. So I think that's always been I wouldn't say a misconception, because there's like only a handful of folks that are actually like crafting the budget, right? So like if you're more focused on policy, you don't really have as much of a say overall in the budget. But I'm dealing with everything from like staffing issues at these agencies, like the Department of Health and ACA and DCF, the Department of Children and Families, to figuring out in our SNAP program if we're going to have to come up with $600 million next year, because our program has so many error rates, the federal government might require us to kick in, you know, $600 million to $1 billion for this $6 billion SNAP program. That's our food assistance program for the state, if you're not familiar. The SBMI committee, we did go over kind of like the state's error rate, and the state's error rate as far as how many times they issue SNAP benefits that should not have been issued, it's hovering around 15%. And the federal government says if you don't get your error rate below 6%, you have to kick in anywhere between 5 and 15% of the overall cost of this program. So that could equate to between $600 million and $1 billion. Wow. That we will have to come up with out of nowhere,
right?
You know, to fund this program. So it's those kind of things that, you know, I wouldn't say like keep me up at night, but it's those kind of things that I got to grapple with. And then on the flip side, we have, you know, member projects that are between $1 million, you know, between $100,000 and say $4 or $5 million.
Right.
For the most part.
Very good. Very good. Well, I know it is your eighth and final session over in Tallahassee. That'll be, I'm sure it'll be bittersweet to leave, more probably sweet to come home and not have to worry about driving back and forth Tallahassee all the time and hang out with the two girls, three girls, I guess. We'll throw Jessica in there too. But what are some of the things that you'll miss about, you know, campaigning or being over in Tallahassee that maybe folks don't typically hear about when they hear from you?
You know, I always like the door knocking aspect of campaigning. Like at this level, a lot of the campaign really is retail. You know, there's no better way to get a handle on what your constituents need, or a reason why I don't much care about polls ever is, you know, on a good campaign day, you can go knock on 100 doors, you know, and you can go talk to 100 constituents. And, you know, you can, you know, these are people that don't go to events. You know, it's the vast majority of people in your district. They're not going to the downtown events. They're not going and meeting you at different things. Yep. They're at home. They're living their lives. It's really the only ever opportunity to get to know the vast majority of your constituents. And so,
let's go to John real quick for traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, even 90, 98, all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. Right.
Thanks, John. Sorry about that, Alex.
No, not at all.
Yeah, but I think, too, just kind of going through that experience myself, you know, there's no really better way to see who lives in your community, what their thoughts are, than knocking on doors in a campaign, whether that's, you know, a campaign for yourself or for a candidate that you're supporting. And really kind of opens your eyes to how many different little pockets of, you know, neighborhoods and worlds that exist in just this one community that we call home that you may never even go past, or you drive past and you don't realize there's a neighborhood back behind something. But it is certainly a eye-opening experience, I'd say. Any top five door-knocking experiences you've had over the past 8 years?
You know, you'll never forget your first chihuahua attack. You know, chihuahuas come charging at you. They're normally the more aggressive dogs that you see. I loved every time, like, I'd knock on a door and someone would ask me to come in and they'd pray for me. You know, there was one time I was knocking on a door and this older lady answered and she was watching NASCAR. And, she invited me in. She just explained to me, like, she doesn't like NASCAR, but her grandson does. And so she's been watching NASCAR to try and be able to, like, talk to him about stuff. And it's awesome. It's just those like sweet moments, you know, it's always fun when someone, you know, comes up to you and says, "Hey, you knocked on my door last year." Someone says, "No one's knocked on this door in forever." Those are great experiences. They're definitely moving.
Yep. It's also there's a lot of those moments in that experience. And there's also a lot of, "I am surprised that you answered the door right now" to a stranger. Some of those moments as well, which are funny, and maybe some not permissible for radio, but you get kind of just everything from really nice to some people are mean, some people surprise you that they opened, but it's a fun experience nonetheless. So as you sail off at, you know, out of Tallahassee coming up this summer, what are kind of some of the things that you'll miss over in Tallahassee that you get to enjoy while you're over there that you won't get to really do as a legislator anymore?
It's a tough question to answer, just because, like, you know, it's an honor to do the job, privilege to do the job. You come over here to represent your people in your area, to make sure that they have a voice. And I mean, I have the biggest seat at the table right now, you know. I'm in my fourth term. I have the most access to everyone in leadership on both sides of the aisle. I mean, it's the ability to get things done for your constituents. It's a privilege to do it, to represent their concerns and make sure they feel heard. But I mean, I have a lot of great friends in the legislature, and they're scattered across the state. So, the main thing I'll miss is just, you know, seeing these people from all over, every walk of life, all across the state, all in the same place. You know, it's a unique experience.
Yep, for sure. Well, I know it'll be good to have you back. I'm sure you'll enjoy the perks of not having to drive over to Tallahassee every weekend or every week in the spring. And it'll be a different way of life for all Alex Andrade coming up here next fall. So it'll be exciting.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you calling in this morning and giving us a little bit of an update on what you're working on over in Tallahassee and just kind of some stories from over the past 8 years. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Warner.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump arriving in Davos, Switzerland later than expected after an electrical issue caused Air Force One to turn around shortly after takeoff overnight.
This is going to delay some of the president's schedule today in Davos, where he plans to deal directly with NATO allies who don't necessarily like his plans to acquire Greenland. And yesterday he questioned the value of the alliance.
Fox's Douglas Ader, the president, saying,
"The big fear I have with NATO is we spend tremendous amounts of money with NATO. And I know we'll come to their rescue, but I just really do question whether or not they'll come to ours."
A big winter storm impacting more than 30 states through the weekend.
And the biggest thing that I'm by far the most concerned about with the ice, especially causing all those power outages, is the fact that there's so much Arctic cold air that's going to stick around after the storm is gone.
It's Fox Weather's Ari Sarsalari. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got 41 degrees. It is partly cloudy here in the area. We'll get to our full forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. But first, our headlines today. Santa Rosa County Commissioners have unanimously selected Bayou District Consulting to redevelop the old courthouse property in downtown Milton. The Pensacola-based firm offered $1.14 million for the 3.6-acre site. Plans call for restoring the old 1920s courthouse building for civic and commercial use while removing additions from the 60s. The development would also include townhouses, walk-up apartments, possibly even a rooftop restaurant. Commissioners say they wanted to negotiate a higher price and make sure the developer understands the state's plans to widen Highway 90 through downtown. The project is expected to generate up to $3 million in one-time revenue, more than $1 million each year for the county and the city. Well, if you're headed through the Pensacola airport, pack your lightsaber. Mayor D.C. Reeves signing a proclamation yesterday, officially changing the airport's name for the Pensacon season.
"And now, therefore, I, D.C. Reeves, mayor of the city of Pensacola, do hereby declare in mayoral decree that Pensacola International Airport be known by all as Pensacola Intergalactic Airport during the duration of Pensacon 2026.
It is the 13th consecutive year for that name change. Airport Executive Director Matt Coughlin saying at the beginning of yesterday's ceremony that they are celebrating fandom coming to town. The convention is expected to draw around 30,000 people. Well, it could be a pivotal day for the future of the Tampa Bay Rays. Rays CEO Ken Babbie says team leaders are set to lay out their vision for what comes next, including a possible new stadium in Tampa.
"In North America, at least in my eyes, there's not a professional sports team, Nick, that is in more crisis and has more headwinds than the Tampa Bay Rays."
Team officials are presenting plans this afternoon to the Hillsborough College District Board of Trustees. Their proposal centers on a 100-acre mixed-use development in the Dale Mabry campus, which would be anchored by a new ballpark. If everything stays on track, that stadium could be ready in time for the 2029 season. Their meeting gets underway this afternoon at about 3 o'clock. The United Way of West Florida is offering free tax preparation through its Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. IRS certified volunteers are helping low-income families, seniors, students, and first-time tax filers with their returns. The kickoff event is set for the 31st at Pensacola State College, and that'll be from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. walk-ins only. You can call for more information. The IRS starts accepting tax returns on January 26th. The deadline, of course, is April 15th. Well, firefighters contained a house fire in Escambia County Monday night at a mobile home. That happened about 10 p.m. on the 1500 block of North 50th Avenue. Crews found the ceiling on fire when they got there, and they were able to apply water to prevent that from spreading. Officials say it was an electrical issue that started the fire. 6:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
We are going to be looking at a nice day today with a small 20% chance of a stray shower. Otherwise, partly sunny skies, high near 61 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55. Going into Thursday, 30% chance of a stray shower. Otherwise, partly sunny skies, high near 67. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 43. As you head into Friday, 40% chance of some showers with partly cloudy skies, high near 68 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 41 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. And let's check in with John Pickens and get a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We have one accident to let you know about on East 9 Mile Road and Baron Miller Road. It's causing some delays on 9 Mile, so just be advised about that. I-10, I-110, everything else is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And your next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Mortgage Bankers Association reports that the average interest rate for 30-year mortgages decreased to 6.16% from 6.18%. Last week, applications to refinance a home loan rose 20% compared with the previous week. Applications were 183% higher than the same week 1 year ago. Treasury yields declined this morning as fresh tariff threats ignited renewed sell America trade fears. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield was lower by over 2 basis points to 4.27%. It peaked at 4.3% at the high of the day yesterday. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear an appeal from global agrochemical manufacturer Bayer to block thousands of state lawsuits alleging it failed to warn people that its popular weed killer could cause cancer. Futures are slightly lower. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 870. The NASDAQ down 561. The S&P 500 down 143. That's your money now.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
So if you're 64, turning 65, or you're retiring, or you just have questions about healthcare stuff, Ricky Stewart can answer them. I have known her as long as I've lived here. Her whole family does insurance, and she does this one slice. She helps people understand and get signed up for Medicare. And then she'll help you manage your benefits, understand your benefits. She'll be there all year round, not just at open enrollment. All year round, you can call her, you can talk to her, and, you know, she's such a delightful person, and she's helped so many of our listeners really understand this thing, because it's a little complicated, but it's also something that can make you apprehensive, because you spent your whole life on regular insurance, and now you're switching over onto this new thing, and you want to know, what is supplement, and, you know, what is Advantage, and what about prescription drugs, and what is Medicaid? Am I covered by Medicaid? What does that mean? Why are they spelled so similar but not the same? Good questions. Ask her. She'll take care of you, and she'll make sure you understand every step of the process. 341-2185 for Ricky Stewart Insurance, or check her out online at insuredbyricky.com.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling. including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay here on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. Andrew has gotten stuck in one of the ECUA pipes they're putting in the new Palafox project. He thought it was one of the underground tunnels that we all hear about, but really it was just a water pipe that they were putting in, and ECUA is working on getting them out. They're able to feed them. They just, you know, give them a little food at one end of the pipe and try and get them to move down a little
but
further.
But for some reason, he's not leaving.
He just wants to sit there. Yeah, he just wants to sit there. He's having fun. He's all right. He'll be back next
Free
week.
Free food, I mean.
That's right. But on the line with us, we've got the president of the Pensacola City Council, Allison Patton. Allison, thanks for calling in this morning.
Happy to do so. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. I know you're out of town, so I appreciate you calling in and calling in this early as well. So thank you for doing that. And, you know, you just got started in November, I guess, as a city council president. So just wanted to kind of get your take on how that's been for a couple months and what you kind of look forward to as serving as the council president through the remainder of the year.
Well, I have to say we've gotten off to an interesting start. Had a couple of exciting meetings in December and January. Lots of issues and lots of discussion, both by the public coming to the meetings and also just amongst council and the mayor. So I think there's a lot going on, and I'm really hopeful though that as we move forward, we're going to be able to be really, I think, thoughtful about the city's business. I think we have been, but really work together with the mayor to try to get things done, to try to make sure we're making the right decisions, and to continue to move us forward. As president, I hope to obviously my primary job is to run the meetings, and so that I hope to do very well, but also just to really make sure that we're all collaborating and there's good dialogue, not only amongst council members, because we can only speak, of course, in the meetings, but also, with the mayor and making sure there's information sharing and just that, we get to a good place on a lot of the things that are happening and that we need to be making decisions about in the city.
Yeah, I think that's great. And excited to see you be able to serve in that role for the remainder of this year. And I know you serve District 6 on the City Council for Pensacola, which covers most of, I guess, all of downtown, some of East Hill, Old East Hill, and Belmont to Villers area. So kind of what's your quick take on the new Palafox project and it kicking off in its second week?
Well, first I'll just say, don't forget North Hill.
And North Hill.
I think it's great. As you probably or anybody who followed it know, I had some hesitation, just really concerns about impact on businesses. I do think the project itself is going to be fantastic for infrastructure, and ultimately I think it'll be a beautiful project that'll add a lot to our streetscape. But I really have been encouraged by all of the support, local support, folks coming down to watch the construction, to continue to support the businesses. All reports, and I don't know whether you've talked about this yet or not, but all reports that I've gotten back are that things are going along really as usual, really, compared to last year, either equal or maybe down a little bit, but nothing drastic has happened so far to really impact the businesses. So I just am very thrilled with how the city has embraced this project, and that people are out to support it and they're continuing to come downtown. There's still plenty to do, of course. All the businesses are open. And I think there's going to be some fun additional, you know, opportunities going forward for people to look forward to and to also bring them down to see.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's so far so good. And we've touched on it a little bit this morning with all the free parking and everything that's been going on. But it's been great. But John, let's get some traffic on the fives. We'll head to commercials and we'll be right back with Council President Allison Patton.
That's right. Let's see here. We've got a couple accidents to let you know about. One is on Davis Highway in front of Denny's. And then we've got another one that happened over on 9 Mile Road and Baron Miller Road, causing delays on 9 Mile. Also, I-10 eastbound, right around mile marker number 17. We had a wreck that's off to the side of the road. Not seeing any delays associated with that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekdays 2 till 4, right after Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Thanks for tuning in with us here today. And on the phone, we've got the president of the Pensacola City Council from District 6, Allison Patton. And we were chatting about the new Palafox project and how, you know, the city has offered just over 400 free parking spaces in downtown Pensacola, those blue or teal signs. And wanted to give Allison a chance to talk a little bit more about parking in downtown Pensacola.
So, Walker, it's been great so far. I think people are starting to understand, you know, how to use that free parking. And obviously there's a map on the newpalafox.com to help you navigate that. But I also wanted to mention that during this time, this pause where the parking is free, the mayor and I are working together to take a broader look at parking generally and, you know, hope to see how we can do even better, once folks start coming back down and parking and, you know, the new Palafox project is done and, just looking for ways to improve parking access, ease, et cetera. And so that's exciting to me because I know that's been a pain point for a lot of people. And I'm very interested in seeing what we can do to make it better for everyone. The other thing I'd say about new Palafox, and I don't know if you mentioned this either, but I am very excited about the PAP assistance program that Quint had offered. I know we got to hear about it at the DIV meeting, and I think it's simple, and I think it's super fair, more than fair. And so that to me is really exciting. The businesses have that opportunity to, you know, get some help if they need it. But I'm hopeful that everybody keeps coming out and keeps supporting the businesses, and we don't need any of that.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a extremely nice offer that, you know, most communities don't have something like that, but essentially, you know, just a program that Quint's putting in place to ensure that any business that is currently on Palafox will be able to be there when this project is over and sustain through the project, so they can be able to kind of, you know, get the benefits of all of this once this is all said and done. And so it's a great thing that they're bringing to the table.
Absolutely.
I know, you know, the big thing kind of that got rolled out, I think, into last week was the Base Center plan, which, again, the Base Center and that property is owned by Escambia County, but is right downtown, the middle of your district that you serve, in District 6 in the city of Pensacola, and right in the heart of downtown Pensacola. And I know there have been joint meetings with you and the county commissioners. There have been, you know, a lot of questions flying around of how is the city maybe participate in making a project like this happen. And are there any plans for the city council to get a presentation on this Base Center plan, or is the city still working on a plan for the property kind of outside of the footprint of where the Base Center is now, or kind of where are we at with that?
Yeah, so I've had an opportunity to speak a little bit about this with some of the county commissioners. And I think right now the thought is that we will wait until we get the WT partnership, that's the city's consultants plan, before having a joint meeting. Obviously, it depends on how fast the county moves on the current plan that IPSM Global Legends has presented. I haven't had a chance to see it in depth. Obviously, I've seen some of it, like, because obviously some of it is public. But I would like to take a look at that. I think it's critically important. And just a correction, the city actually owns part of that property, but it's leased to the county. Ah. It's FDOT, the city owned and leased to the county. So they control it. And it's very important, I think, for the downtown area to make sure that what happens there is something that's good for the city. And so I really hope that we are able to be involved. I feel like that opportunity exists with the current county commission and the current chair. And so I'm very much looking forward to being able to talk about it. I think our plan, having met with the consultants last week, is going to be focused, of course, on the surrounding areas, but also I think weighing in on what we think the best uses are of the Base Center to support, you know, our citizens. And so I'm very excited that FPL is for sale. And I think there's, you know, not only an interested party, but somebody they're negotiating with right now. And that will bring additional, you know, business opportunities to the area. So I really see all this coming together, and I hope it's something transformative for that area.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, this is I think you said it, you know, very well at y'all's previous meeting last April, when you said this is going to be a project that serves the community for the next 40 years, just as the current facility that we've got right now has been in place, you know, in there for 40 years. And you want to make sure that you try and get it right, and also try, if you can, to look into, you know, your crystal ball and see what some of those needs you might need to meet in a decade or in 20 years from now of what a facility should be. And then sometimes that's hard to predict, but this is going to be a big conversation, community-wide conversation, and certainly, more certainly, a heavy lift on finding, you know, the finances to fund a project like this. I think the county, I don't know.
Yes, I certainly hope that we can participate in some way, of course, from a city standpoint. But obviously all that remains to be seen.
Right. All right. Well, we will go real quick to traffic on the fives and be back with Council President, District 6, Allison Patton.
That's right. Brought to you by ECUA Bulk Waste Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still working the accident on 9 Mile Road and Barron Miller Road. Seeing some delays on 9 Mile. And also wanted you to be aware of an accident on Navy Boulevard and Gulf Beach Highway. There's no roadblock, just some minor delays on Navy. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. And this is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Always feel free to text in at 850-437-1620. We still got with us the president of the Pensacola City Council District 6, Allison Patton. And I know there's been another big project that was kind of more localized for the city, but kind of the development and what is going to be happening on and around the Baptist Hospital, the old Baptist Hospital property over there on E Street, and just kind of wanted to see where we're at in that process as well, Allison.
Well, as you know, this item was on our agenda in December. There was a lot of opposition to the consulting arrangement or agreement that we were prepared to vote on that evening. So ultimately, and I think this was the right thing under the circumstances, this item was pulled. And so now I think there's some work being done with the Bayou District Consulting folks, Councilman Wiggins, and I'm hopeful, and I don't know any of the details, of course, because I can't speak with Councilman Wiggins, but I'm hopeful that that item will be brought back and that we can reconsider it at some point in the future. Obviously, it is at that Councilman Wiggins' discretion, and the community's desire has to be there to have this consultant help us. But I do think the project in New Orleans, Columbia Park, is really a great example of what you can do with mixed income housing to really create a broad spectrum of housing options for people, to create, that town center, the community, and the support that schools and medical that is needed. So I do think the concept is a good one. Whether this is the right consultant or not, I have to leave that to the community to decide. But I'm hopeful that there will be something brought back to council in the future for us to consider.
Very good. And yeah, I know they were, were going to head on the table to go into a contract with them. I think it was to kind of go into community engagement and solicit feedback from the community. And of course, I think the community maybe had felt left out of that process of even getting to that point, or wanted, at least a seat at the table and a voice at the table on how that whole thing came together. And so I know Councilwoman Broughton had brought that and ended up pulling it because the community showed out and really, I think they're just nervous about what's going to happen in their backyard, as many of us are when something like that happens. So I think the right call, but again, just trying to push the ball forward.
Yep, 100%. And I totally understand that and hope that, we can work through that communication process for sure. Absolutely.
We got a couple more minutes left where we let you go, but are there anything, that maybe you're working on just for, say, your district and District 6 and kind of at downtown area, North Hill, Old East Hill, Belmont DeVillers, the Tan Yards, anything going on there that you're working on kind of on a local level?
Really, most of the things that I'm working on right now are kind of on the smaller scale. We've got some a historic marker that's going into Bayview, hopefully, that is being presented by some folks in the community. We've got a lot of, one thing that I am working on is an ordinance change or an ordinance pause for the Plaza Ferdinand ordinance to allow us to use some of the, activities and areas there that are now prohibited by ordinance while the Palafox project is going on. Walker, and I don't know if this is getting too far ahead, but obviously we've been talking about maybe creating some outdoor seating and other ways to utilize the park while the project's going on in downtown Pensacola. So need some relief from an ordinance standpoint, and then working on seeing if we can bring that to council next meeting.
All right. Well, good stuff. Well, Allison, thank you again for calling in, and have a good trip. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Thanks, Walker.